Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about the man who motivates the mission. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to New Every Day. So glad that you have tuned in again. And we are jumping back into the book of Acts. We're on chapter 3 now, and we've gone over a couple topics. Jen, you want to just recap for us?
Well, we've talked about, first of all, what the mission is. Mm-hmm. That Jesus gave the disciples a mission to go into all the world proclaiming who he was. And then secondly, Jesus, after he left, well then, what were they to do? Well, they had to build the team. So they prayed and they built the team, and the team was comprised both of men and women. And then thirdly, they talked, well, we have the mission and we have the team, but now where's the power? Mm-hmm. So we talked about what happened at Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit and how it equipped Peter to proclaim the word boldly. And then fourthly, we talked about how they worked together as a church. Right. And so they had the mission, they had the team, and they had the power. Now, how do they actually work together? Right. So that's where we've been over the during that first section of Acts 1 and 2. And so today we thought, well, let's jump right back in, because the mission that Jesus called them to has really nothing to do with them.
You're right. Which is why anyone is part of it.
Yes. It has nothing to do, like, okay, you are a part of the mission so you can get rich, so you can, you know, get success, so you can get honor, so you can get glory. It has nothing to do with that.
And it's not about, like, what skills can you bring to the team?
No.
So, as a sidetrack, a friend of mine said, you know what, if there was a zombie apocalypse, like, I would think about who I would build on my team, you know, to be with me. She's like, Carrie, what could you bring? I was like, oh, well, I don't know. I can run, I guess. You know, and she's like, and I would probably need someone who could hunt, and I could probably need, and she's building the team, you know, based on the skills. It was a big joke. But anyways, the Lord doesn't do that.
No.
It's not about you. It's not about what you can bring.
No.
It's about him. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, it's about taking the name of Jesus throughout all the world, because only Jesus can deliver, which is what his name means. So for the next few weeks, we're actually going to look at chapters 3 and 4 of Acts and how the disciples moved in the mission with their team through the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the name of Jesus. So let's just jump in. Mm-hmm. We're going to start reading in Acts chapter 3.
All right.
So I'm reading from the New International Version. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Think about that life transformation. Like, so much of your employment depended on your physical ability at that time.
Yes.
I mean, nowadays, if you are a quadriplegic, paraplegic, and you can still speak, you know, you can work in other jobs, mm-hmm. or, you know, there are positions in certain companies that accommodate for disability.
Yeah.
But back then, if you could not move, walk, talk, use your hands, it was a big problem. You had no means of making money, and you had to just beg or rely on a benevolent family member.
Yes.
So this life transformation is incredible. Not only, you know, does it provide the disciples with an opportunity to share about Christ to other people who saw it.
Right.
But for this man, like when I think about everything that has to happen physically to make this happen, it's astronomical. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen someone who is incredibly contractured. After some people who have had a stroke.
You mean like contractured?
Contractured.
Okay.
So all kind of crippled up. There's deformity in the bone tissue. There's sometimes like abnormal bone growth. There's muscle wasting. Right. On a cellular level, for this type of healing to happen, it's amazing. Everything that had to be reversed instantaneously. Wow. But if Jesus is the one who holds every atom together, this is not a big thing for him to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. When I think about, you know, creation, I don't always walk around going, wow, this is incredible. But then when you hear something like this, that instantaneous life transformation, I think, wow, that's incredible. But really, he's doing it all the time.
Yeah.
So it provided the opportunity for the disciples to actually share about who God is and how amazing this miracle really is.
Well, and what's interesting is it says, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. So he actually had, like you said, a benevolent family or friend actually carried this beggar to the temple at a specific time, 3:00. Why? Because that's when the Jews would go and pray.
It's like more people.
Exactly. And one of the things that the Jews, I want to say, prided themselves on or built their faith around was the fact that they had to take care of the poor. So it was almost like, well, the beggar knew if I go at this time, they are required pretty much by their law to provide, like to take care of me, like to give me alms. And so there's this understanding from his perspective, if I go now, there will be people there that will give me money to look after my needs. And I got thinking about that and I thought, do people come to me because there's an expectation, she is a believer, she is a Christian, so she has to respond because of her relationship with God, she has to respond in a certain way, and that's challenging.
It is. And I actually think of a story that a colleague was sharing, and about another believer whom I had worked with, and I guess something came up and I guess he didn't respond in maybe the best way, and she said that was a real Christian response, eh? So she knew that the way that he behaved to this person should have been more welcoming, should have been more loving, because that would have been like Christ. So this person who does not know anything about church knew that that was not the right answer, because it becomes the expectation that is how someone behaves when you know the Lord Jesus and you've been transformed by his love and his power. Interesting, isn't it?
Interesting.
And it should.
Yes.
Jesus says, like, people will know that we're his disciples by our love. Yeah. And what was the most loving thing for Peter to do? Not to give him alms, but to give him the opportunity to hear about Christ, but through a physical healing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a loving thing to do.
Well, because Peter said, he does a couple things here, right? When he saw Peter and John enter, he asked them for money, which is what the norm would have been. So the disciples would have been very used to people asking them for money, right? Which, anyways, pause. I know I have a couple thoughts. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from him. So the beggar probably thought, oh, what is it? Because they're not just throwing money down to me. They're actually getting my attention. So what exactly are they going to give me?
Do you think, right. Why do you think he said, look at me?
That's a really good question.
Let's think about it and take a commercial break.
All right. We'll be right back.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
That's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Welcome back. We are coming back from our commercial break. Thank you to all those wonderful people who have partnered with us, the amazing organizations who have partnered with us to make this show possible. If you want to check them out, go to our website, neweveryday.tv. Click on our partners page and check them out there. So we were just talking about how Peter and John are going to the temple through the gate called Beautiful. They've run into a beggar. The beggar is asking for money. And Peter and John are like, I'm going to give you something better.
Yeah.
And then they say to him, look at us. And so I asked Jen, why did he say, look at us? Why couldn't he just be like, be healed?
Yeah.
Because he probably still would have been healed.
Well, and so we talked about when somebody says, look at me, what are they trying to say? Like, why are they saying, look at me? And the picture that immediately came to mind is, I've looked after children, Carrie's looked after children, and they will actually grab your face and they'll say, like, look at me. Like, they will squeeze your face. Like, I want your attention. I have something important to tell you. Or Carrie and I were saying, or when you have to have that serious conversation with someone and they're like,
we need to talk.
We need to talk.
But you know, you need to sit down and look at them. This can't be a text message.
Yes. And so so it's obvious that Peter has something important to tell him. And so the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. I love this part, and I've actually said this to people before. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, walk. And I just love the fact that Peter was straight up honest. Like, he couldn't meet the man's financial need.
Right.
But let me give you something that in the end will meet all of the needs that you could ever have.
Because as soon as he was healed, he then had the means of taking care of himself and making money.
Which is interesting when you really think about it. So, like, all the man wanted was for his financial needs to be met. Because that's all he ever had hope for. All he ever had hope for was that his financial needs would be met. And that he didn't have to rely on other people's finances. But here, Peter is offering him far more than the man could ever expect or hope for. Like, it's so interesting, right? Like, we come to Jesus and we're just like, oh yeah, I'm just feeling bad. Could you help me? But we don't even imagine that he could fill us with such joy that would just lift us off our seat and, you know, proclaim it to everyone, right? We just see the very immediate, this is my situation.
We ask for the minuscule miracle.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a lack of faith or just that, like, we become so focused on the details of our life?
I wonder if it's because we don't think there's anything else beyond that. What could possibly be beyond just my financial need being met? Like, we see it as the minuscule thing. Well, this is a thing in my life that needs to be met. Mm-hmm. So
let's check this off. Let's get this dealt with.
Yeah. But we don't think of it as, you know, I want to say the greater. And we have talked in John where it says, and you will do even greater things. Then Jesus says that to his disciples, and he will do even greater things than me. And I think sometimes, you know, before I get out of bed, I'll say, Lord, could you show me what you want me to wear today? Da, 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 da. For the purpose of not just clothing my body in a decent, modest way, but also for your kingdom and your glory. Like, I want to see beyond just the getting dressed. I want to see how the Lord can actually use the wee little things that I pray for even greater things. So when I read this passage, it got me thinking about this man. All the man wanted was money.
The minuscule miracle.
The minuscule miracle.
Yes.
And Peter is saying,
hold on.
I have so much more, but it's in the name of Jesus. Like, we don't even, like, he didn't even think about going there. The man just said, I need money. And Peter's like, whoa, we have something way more better to offer you. And in the name of Jesus, like, you're healed. Like, he didn't even do it himself. Like, Peter's like, because Peter had the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Like, Holy Spirit is flowing through him. And so Peter didn't say, in the name of Peter, or he didn't even say, I heal you. It says, in the name of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, walk.
And he was saying, what I have, I give you, in the sense, I have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I have the Lord Jesus living inside me. And you might say, what do I have to offer people? You know, what do I bring to the kingdom? You have the Lord Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. And that's what Peter had.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything else.
I know.
So we can offer people these things. We can pray for people who are sick.
I know.
We can do that by the grace of God.
Yeah. And that's why I just love that passage. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. Walk, right? And it's like he had, like you said, the Holy Spirit. And so often, you know, I'll pray for people. And I've said that, I said, I don't have any money, but can I pray for your comfort? Can I pray for your peace? Can I pray for whatever it is that you're going through? Because I believe Jesus can heal you.
Yeah.
And it's like, so often you're right. We just look about what we have in our hands, but it's not about what we have in our hands. It's about what we have, who we have in our heart, right? It's the who. It's the who, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can bring us more than we could ever ask or imagine. That's what, you know, it's not just about the, he wants to heal the minuscule, but in healing the minuscule, are we actually open to him bringing so much more to our lives? And I just, and the fact then, I think they totally blew his socks off if he had socks or sandals. Let's say sandals. Right? Because it says he jumped to his feet, and Carrie talked about that, and began to walk. And he went in with them into the temple's court, walking and jumping, because he didn't know that God could do this.
He was lame from his mother's womb.
Wow.
That is a long time
to
carry a burden and not ever experience walking, ever.
Yeah.
He would be on one latitude, the ground, his whole life. And God elevated him to standing, leaping, jumping, praising God.
Yeah. I remember one man, I asked him a question. I said, you're a believer now. What difference has Jesus made in your life? And he said, I'm never alone. And I don't think that's why he came to Jesus.
But it was just a bonus.
It was a bonus. And it's like, I want to say, because this man was in a place, he went to the temple knowing that those Jewish people were actually, they needed to take care of him. They needed to give him money. And yet his encounter with someone who knew Jesus radically changed his life.
Yeah, and I wonder, even this week, now that we've talked about this, if someone's going to approach you with a need or a question, and because they know that you know the living God,
yes,
they are expecting some kind of help, of comfort, of something, because they see a difference in your life that God has made. Even if you don't see it, people can see it, because it's not about us.
Yes.
That when God transforms your life, there is something different about us, and people should be able to recognize it.
Yes.
And so when someone comes to you this week, and I pray that you'll take that opportunity to maybe it is offering them some money. Maybe it is offering them something else that they need. But then offering them Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes. What's interesting, before we close, is we had a dad come with his daughter and his wife to our church because he wanted help for his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has continued to come.
They're Muslim.
Which is so cool. But he came to a church because he wanted help for his daughter. So may you look for those opportunities this week. I'm so blessed by our church. They've totally reached out to this family and are loving on them every time they see them.
I have been the recipient of that.
Yeah.
My family. I've seen what God has done.
Yeah.
And how he has used other people to help us.
So
yeah, it's awesome.
We don't know. We don't know what God is going to bring to you this week. We don't even know what God's going to bring to us this week. But we are excited to say, you know what? I have the power of the living Jesus at work in us. And so, you know, we don't have a lot of money, but we are willing to give whatever God wants us to give, whether it's finances or whether it's the hope of glory, of, you know, that peace, comfort, joy, healing, whatever it is that God asks us to share with someone, then we need to be willing to share that with them because of who we are in him, what he calls us to do to help continue the mission of telling people about Jesus. So,
right on. Why don't I just pray for us and then we'll wrap up? Father, I just want to thank you so much that you, because of the cross, because Jesus rose again, that you have enabled us to receive Holy Spirit. And I pray this week for Jen and I and for all the people watching and listening that you would help us to have open eyes and ears when people come to us looking truly to have their needs met. But ultimately, you are the one who can meet all of their needs.
Yes.
You exceed expectations, God. Help us to have big picture thinking and to realize that you are the answer, Lord Jesus. And I pray that for all our viewers this week in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We have really enjoyed talking about this. And we're going to see you next week when we pick up on the book of Acts chapter 4. Later. Jennifer, Carrie Fur.